Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Just try keeping your kids out of the bounce houses when you see them at fairs or somebody's birthday party or a block party, and invariably, you're going to end up with somebody's tooth in there or somebody's head hits another kid's head, and there's going to be crying. You just kind of have to accept that, and you sit there with your little fists clenched and your teeth, you know, grating, waiting for your kids to get out and be done jumping around in those things. But kids love them, and my guest is Dr. Gary Smith. He's professor of pediatrics, emergency medicine, and epidemiology at Ohio State University. So, Dr. Smith, bounce houses, I can't stand them, but my kids love them.
You know, we just completed a study out of our research center, Center for Injury Research and Policy, at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. And we looked at a 21-year period examining inflatable bouncer-related injuries in that age group. And what we found was actually quite alarming. During that 21-year period, there was a 15-fold increase in the number of injuries. In fact, between 2008 and 2010 alone, there was a doubling. So this is a really rapidly increasing source of injury, especially among young children. And I'm not going to recommend that parents keep their kids out of bounce houses, but I think the point of this study was to point out to parents that there are risks, and so they need to make informed choices. And there are some things that they can do to help prevent injury if their children do use a bounce house.
Okay, so start with number one.
Well, in terms of things to consider, we do know that fractures account for about one-fourth of the injuries. And when we looked at the children that actually required admission to the hospital, which was only about 3% of those children seen in emergency departments, of those children admitted, about 80% were admitted because of a fracture. And so that's certainly one of the things that we really want to look out for. We know that the chance of a fracture or other serious injury increases when you have children of different sizes using the inflatable bouncer at the same time, and also when you have multiple children using the bouncer at the same time. And this is not unlike what we've seen with trampolines, and it makes sense. It's the same type of activity.
How do they compare to trampolines in terms of injury risk?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Trampoline injuries, which is actually, there are many more trampoline-related injuries in the United States than there are inflatable bouncers, but they're actually on the decline. The trampoline-related injuries are decreasing. Inflatable bouncers are increasing at just an alarming rate, like I said, 15-fold in a very short amount of time. So what we're seeing is they're kind of going in different directions, but the mechanisms of injury are very similar. The types of injuries we're seeing are almost identical. So it really is something we can learn from what we've seen for years in trampolines and try to apply the safety measures that we've used there to try to help decrease the injuries. We can apply those to inflatable bouncers.
So you mentioned fractures. Me, I always worry about biting tongues, lips, blood, and teeth getting knocked out.
Well, we certainly saw that as well. In fact, one out of about every five injuries were to the head and neck region. So it really demonstrated that these bouncer-related injuries are pose serious risks other than just broken bones. So it's other parts of the body as well. But the broken bones were the more common of the serious types of injuries and certainly were responsible for most of the hospital admission.
So what do we do, Dr. Smith? You mentioned keeping kids of sort of similar sizes. You know, because now these places are popping up all over the place, which are just all about the bounce house. I mean, the birthday parties have 10 different kinds of bounce houses in there.
Right.
You know, including bounce slides and bounce ladders and bounce every other thing. So it would just seem to me to be one big injury risk. What can we do outside of keeping our children from being in any of these things?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I think we really need to balance risks with benefits. We want kids to have active, healthy lifestyles. And anytime you're active, there is going to be an increased risk of injury. So I'm not going to tell parents not to let their children be in bounce houses, but they need to know some of the risks and some of the higher risk activities. First of all, when we've learned from trampolines that children under 6 years of age don't have the coordination, the strength, they aren't able to hop, skip, and jump, for example, as well as children over 6 years of age. And so what we're saying is that one of the things that parents should consider is limiting the use of inflatable bouncers to children 6 years old and older. I think
everyone
would
agree. I have to just say, how are you going to stop your four-year-old from what? I mean, they scream and cry. I want to jump around in there too. Oh my! I mean, you
right,
know.
Right, and I was going to say that is a risk that they need to be aware of. But they may decide that that's a risk they're willing to take, which is fine. The other thing that I'm going to suggest is that if you allow your child to use a bouncer, regardless of the age, there are several things you can do. One, I think everyone would agree that supervision is important. And we know as parents that there are many times that we can intervene and keep them from doing high-risk behaviors. The one thing that we absolutely want to limit is we don't want children to attempt somersaults in the air where they can flip over, because we know from trampoline-related studies that that's when they come down on their neck, and that's when they can have those catastrophic spinal cord injuries and be paralyzed. So those are the types of maneuvers we have to prevent. The other thing is just simply roughhousing, which will obviously lead to a higher risk of injury. The other thing that parents are going to kind of raise their eyebrows about is this whole idea of multiple children on at once. And so ideally, we'd only have one children using it at the time, but you and I both know that these things are designed to be used by many children at the same time. And so parents need to be aware of that, that it's going to increase the risk of injury. And when that occurs, the one thing that they can absolutely do to help minimize risk is to make sure those children are roughly the same size and weight. Because if they're of different sizes and weight, the younger children are going to be at much higher risk of injury when they're bouncing around a very large person.
Now give advice to parents, Dr. Smith, on regulating exactly what you've just said. So you're at somebody's birthday party, and you say, well, wait, honey, I want you to wait here until there's more kids your size. And the parent says, oh, just let them go in. You know, all the kids have so much fun in there. What do you say to other people's parents that are not hearing you and trying to keep some semblance of order going on in those things? What would be a good response?
So these are great questions. When we get into the areas of risk behavior, everyone has different levels of tolerance. And so some people are very risk adverse, and some people are, oh, well, you know, they'll be fine. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to parent. What I will say, though, is that when you make those decisions, you should be aware of the risks that are being taken and also be aware of some of the benefits. And every one of us is going to probably have a slightly different level that we're willing to accept in terms of risk for our children. And so I can't say this is the one right way to do things, but I think parents need to at least be informed so that when they do take risks or their children take risks, they can make those with an understanding of what those risks are. And that's why we did this study. We didn't want to be alarmist. We know that children have to get out and be active, but one of the things we want them to do is to be active and do it safely. We also know from other studies we've done that the most common reason, or one of the most common reasons, for stopping a physical activity like a sport or a recreational pursuit is because you were injured doing that activity. And so that actually then works against getting out and be active. So we want to be active, but we want them to do it safely or as safe as necessary to avoid the injury.
In 30 seconds or so, wrap it up about bounce houses and your best advice.
So my best advice is that encourage your children to explore, to challenge themselves, and bounce houses can provide that kind of activity. You want to, though, monitor the environment. If there are very large children, I personally, if I had a very small child, would not want them in with a very, you know, say teenagers. So those are the kinds of things you have to decide, and that's my advice. You know, make sure you make those risks knowing, making those choices knowing the risks.
Well, it certainly is all about the health of our children. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.